Afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to this afternoon session of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. We will now have public comment time. We have quite a few people have signed up. I'm going to ask, because we have so many people signed up, we're going to have to limit folks to 3 minutes apiece. So we're just going to start calling folks up, and I just ask when you come up, just state your name so we get it for the record. The first person is Carter Myers, and then right after that is Tim Holbert. And then after that is Bob Blair.
Mr. Secretary, members of the board, my name is Carter Myers. I'm a resident and business owner in Albemarle County. I thank you for your time. A lot of emotion, a lot of history comes back in watching that video. I'm here to support the completion of the Charlottesville-Western Route 29 bypass. I had the opportunity to serve on the CTB along with another Albemarle resident, who's on the CTB, Mr. William Ratterbush. He's a retired civil engineer. He's with us today. He's not going to speak because he knows your time is tight. But we helped work to move this project forward from 1994 to 2002. Bill and I worked very closely with the fine folks at VDOT, and I got to tell you, they did the best job they could in designing this road to give it the least impact on the community, on the schools, on the neighborhood, and the water supply. I can also tell you that the property that was taken from the citizens, they were treated very fairly. And Bill and I stayed very close to this project because this was our community, our friends, our neighbors. In addition, I thought VDOT was as flexible and accommodating to any reasonable request that was made by the citizens. And even with this effort, as you'll see today, we couldn't satisfy everything. This is probably fairly typical with any project around. Not everybody's going to be taken care of. But I'll promise you one thing. The two of us did our best to try to work with everybody that had a problem, and the VDOT folks did too. Now, this road will make a real difference. I was told one time common sense doesn't federal highway, not looking for common sense, but I've got a business right on 29, and I can watch that traffic change. It's grown. I can't tell you where it is now, but I think there are 50,000 or 60,000 cars out there. And my guess is, and this is, again, the day this thing opens, there'll be about 20,000 cars on that road, and there are people that want to keep moving. Now, I will tell you, there's going to be some local benefit. I live on 250 West area, and if I want to go to the airport, I'll use that road. Now, 14 traffic lights does make a difference. If you're in a hurry to go somewhere and you're coming through an area, you don't want to stop and shop, 14 lights makes a difference. I'd say this, the location is in the right place. It starts at the southern end to the bypass that you built years ago. It ties in with the university's north ground and the parking. It'll have a very good effect, particularly in bringing commuter traffic into UVA, football games, concerts. So I'd say that the location is in the right place. Mr. Miller, you brought up an interesting point on that hydraulic. Yeah, there should have been an interchange there. I hope they could leave room for it in the future, but the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors didn't want it because part of the argument at those days was don't make it good for the local people, and then you've got more opposition. So it was a real well-planned strategy. I don't think the right-of-way, and this is a gut feel again, we bought almost all the houses. It's mainly raw land, north side. I don't think it's going to cost $71 million, but I'm no expert at it. The northern terminus probably needs a little bit of work. We've got a board supervisor member that has worked hard, Ken Boyd, on this project, and he's got one resident area. I think you can move it around a little tiny bit, and I'd ask you to work with him on that northern terminus. Also, keep the possibility that you could extend the road. I think it's possible. But it's been a difficult project for everybody, and I know this, but I'd encourage you to support it. A lot of hours, a lot of money, a lot of studies. It's time to build the road. You're doing the right thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Tim Holbert, Bob Blair, then Brian Pennington.
My name is Timothy Holbert. I live in Charlottesville. I work for the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce. We have 1,000 members, member enterprises. I have prepared remarks to start out with the expression, good morning. I'm passing them out But I'm going to ignore those because there's been tremendous conversation. I'm going to try and answer some of the questions you had. Mr. Rich is correct when he said there's a list of doables that we all support. They are all essentially local roads. And the reason the bypass wasn't on that list is because Albemarle County at the time wouldn't let it be on the list. So we agreed not to argue about it. There was no money, and Albemarle County opposed it. That's why it's not on the list, not because it's not meritorious. In 2003, you funded a study with the MPO in the city of Charlottesville, and it said that that hydraulic and U.S. 29, United States Route 29, which, by the way, goes from Pensacola to Baltimore, not just from North Carolina to Washington, there were 55,000 vehicles per day at that intersection. That's a city street. That's a city-county boundary. If 10 to 20% of them are through traffic, people with no intention of stopping, you use 15%, that's 7,000 vehicles that go off that corridor instantly that can get through all 14 lights and get on to do about their business. And there's another 20,000 local commuters who will use it. Each year, the Commonwealth of Virginia and the federal government collect about $40 million in federal motor vehicle and state motor vehicle excise taxes. Over the last 20 years, that comes to $800 million. The last time you were in Charlottesville, tell me how much of that $800 million you saw got spent there. It is our time to build this so we can be part of that corridor. And the notion that there's another route is a complete absurdity. They looked at 27 different routes. This was the best route, not perfect, but the best route. And if we were to look at other routes, Mr. Rich's own environmental organization would go ballistic over the destruction of very valuable, as would our chamber, of very valuable environmentally sensitive lands. This is not perfect. It is a good solution. We applaud the County Board of Supervisors for moving forward. We anticipate the MPO will move forward. We've been arguing about this for 20-plus years. The time for the argument is over. It is time. We appreciate your motion, and it's time for the Transportation Board to move this project forward. Thank you for your time, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Ms. Helfer. Bob Blair, Brian Pennington, Neil Williamson.
I'm Bob Blair. I'm from Lynchburg. I'm a small business owner. My clients are small businesses and large businesses, both in and out of Virginia. I believe that Virginia stands to gain from a shift in business and employment jobs to the South. I think we must have supported infrastructure, in particular transportation, to encourage this trend. I believe that the U.S. 29 highway corridor is particularly well positioned to attract business. It's simply a great place to live and work. We have major universities nearby, and I'm talking about from North Carolina all the way up to Northern Virginia, east to Lexington, and of course to Richmond. We have high-tech expertise already in place, and we have workforce available. Just ask Martinsville and Danville. So we're open for business, but there's a problem. A major U.S. traffic artery through the heart of Virginia is clogged and needs bypass surgery. We're almost finished a major upgrade in Danville, in Lynchburg, in Culpeper, but Jefferson's precious jewel is undone. Due to the lack of completion of that bypass. Now, Charlottesville will play well with others. Just look at our new train. It's a stunning success. And I congratulate you and Charlottesville and others who cooperated in that regional solution, and I hope you keep up more of the same. So we've almost finished the upgrade, so let's get the job done. Now is the time for a great investment for the Commonwealth. The payoff will be in tax revenue, safety, quality of life, good jobs for the Commonwealth as a whole. As business shifts south in our favor, let's take advantage. This is a common sense investment for the common good of the Commonwealth. Let's do it right. It's complicated. It won't get less complicated. It's expensive. It won't get less expensive. But let's do it now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Blair. Brian Pennington, Neil Williamson. I'm sorry, is Brian Pennington not here? Okay. Neil Williamson. Then Jay Sigalia. Then Kevin Chisholm.
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary, CTB members, Commissioner Worley. My name is Neil Williamson. I serve as the president of the Free Enterprise Forum, a privately funded public policy organization located in Albemarle County. We cover the city of Charlottesville as well as the counties of Albemarle, Greene, Fluvanna, Louisa, and Nelson. I was most interested in your discussion this morning with regard to freight. As you're aware, freight movement is critical to our economic advancement as a commonwealth. Page 318 of that 500 some odd page report indicates and recommends a US 29 bypass as having a high impact on statewide freight transportation. There's local economic concerns as well. Several years ago, the Free Enterprise Forum commissioned a study called Workplace 29. We looked at the businesses in the North 29 business corridor. It is the economic engine of Albemarle County. It is home to 20,000 jobs, a payroll of $800 million, and represents 42% of the local tax revenue. The Free Enterprise Forum believes the Western Bypass will promote economic development and economic vitality in the Commonwealth and in Albemarle County. And we urge you to move forward and build this road now. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Jay Sigalia? Kevin Chisholm? Denny King? Denny King, then Francis Fife, and then Max Evans.
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary, Commissioner Worley, Mr. Chairman and honorable board members. My name is Denny King, and I'm a resident of Albemarle County and a proud Virginian. I come here today to ask that this road not be built as outlined. The bypasses in Lynchburg and Danville and others to our south actually go around those cities. This particular road goes through ours. It has no exit points. It has two on-ramps, one to the north and one to the south. Dr. Davis, with all due respect, I would like to say that the major opposition is due primarily to the fiscal responsibility, or might I say the fiscal irresponsibility. 6.2 miles at $300 million does not give the citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia a reasonable return on investment. It's money not wisely spent. We all want to see traffic move smoother through all of the areas of the Commonwealth of Virginia. But this certainly is not a bypass, and one of the strong supporters, one of our Albemarle County supervisors, a very strong supporter, has vowed that he will no longer refer to it as a bypass, but a connector. A connector for $300 million. I ask that you seriously look at this. You seriously consider the return on investment. It's just not there. This is the wrong road to be built. More attention should be given to planning a real bypass. If we build this road now, we will be building another bypass or another road in 5 years to bypass the bypass. I'm asking you to listen to the citizens of Albemarle and Charlottesville, and even those to the south. And I ask that you listen to them and think about the poor return on investment you are providing these taxpayers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. King. Francis Pipes, then Max Evans, then Blair Williamson.
Thank you all very much for holding this hearing and hearing, hearing from the people in our area. My name is Francis Fife. I'm a former mayor of Charlottesville, and I've lived in the area all my life. I'm opposed to this bypass because it would destroy the countryside, remove homes, endanger our reservoir, threaten our school children at many schools. In addition, at two public hearings recently, last few days, the overwhelming number of people present opposed the bypass. Despite assurances to the contrary, it is hard to believe that the huge sum of money involved would not diminish the amount already proposed for construction of well-designed roads sown in the local area. Roads that should bring relief to traffic problems and that have the support of the local community. Finally, it does seem to me to be somewhat selfish to spend a huge amount of money on a road that is not a bypass when there are crying needs all over this state for repairs. I could make many more remarks, but there are others who will come forward and speak much better than I. I do commend the statements made about the total of all means of transportation. If we continue to try to build highways, we will continue to build highways all over the place. We will not really solve the long-range problem. So I ask you to vote against this.
Thank you, Mr. Pines. Max Evans, then Blair Williamson, then Robert Humphreys.
Thank you for allowing us to come here and express our concerns about this bypass. I'm in favor of bypasses. I've been involved in the planning. I'm a regional planner with a number of them. Danville has a beautiful bypass. It's a true bypass. It goes out around Danville. I use that road quite often going down to my hometown in Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte has an incredibly good bypass. It goes way out around. In fact, it touches on several other counties. It's so far out from the city. I've been in Charlottesville for over 40 years. I've planned projects from all the way from Maine down to the Virgin Islands and every state east of the Mississippi River. And this is not a bypass. It is a through road that has a major interchange at either end of it. And those interchanges occur right at major growth areas. The University of Virginia has grown tremendously and is still growing, has lots of activities going on there. It also ends at the North Fork of the Rivanna River and right in a major growth area. The problem is going to be getting on and off of this bypass. Now, the distance that it's going around is 3.5 miles. 3.5 miles of commercial development. The length of the actual bypass itself is 4.5 miles. So you're building 4.5 miles of expensive road with two major interchanges at either end at considerable cost in order to go around this amount of commercial development. Your intuition would tell you that this is not a bypass. This is not a bypass. It's just another connector road to avoid the commercial development along 29 over that 3.5 miles. We have in our plans, and it goes back, I've been there 40 years, and I've designed several of these projects along this corridor. I looked at 2,000 acres for a client that's now Hollymead and Forest Lakes, and then some additional land there. At that time, this was 35 years ago, we planned two parallel roads, part of which were built by the developers of these various projects. These parallel roads will carry much more traffic than this bypass will, and it will take most of the local traffic off of 29, a considerable amount of it, and then that would open up 29 to a better flow of traffic by truck traffic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Blair Williamson, Robert Humphreys.
Hi, my name is Blair Williamson. I appreciate the opportunity to address this group. Some of you know me and know me for begging for transportation dollars. I have a history of begging for secondary road money all over the place. But if there's anybody that loves a road, it's me, but I do not love this road. I've lived in Charlottesville for 45 years, aside from college and a little stint of work somewhere else. But, you know, I hesitate to use the word bypass, as this road really doesn't bypass much. It would be more akin to a parallel road, as it's too short to effectively bypass Charlottesville. Conceived in the early 1990s and maybe before that, this bypass was deemed outdated, exceedingly expensive, and too short to provide much functionality. Now, 20 years later, it's unimaginable that it would somehow be the panacea to Charlottesville's traffic problems. This road is not like fashion, where if you wait long enough, the styles will come back around. The estimated cost of this road is somewhere around $250 million, seemingly a foolish expenditure in light of the seriously underfunded maintenance and construction needs of the Commonwealth secondary roads. As you know, we have the third largest road system in the country, and we don't have the sustainable funds to maintain it. I realize that the money for this road is not coming from our maintenance funds. However, the funds are reportedly being diverted from future PPTA projects. It appears that money may be fungible after all, since there's no private investment contemplated. In 2004, Charlottesville was voted the best city in the nation. Kiplinger's has placed Charlottesville in the top 10 cities for various categories: best city, healthiest city, best place to retire, most business friendly. Even the U.S. Department of Transportation ranked Charlottesville the best place for commuters, because we have great roads, in 2006. Charlottesville has excellent schools and an incredibly high high school and college matriculation rate. If we can deduce from all these accolades that people who live in Charlottesville are active and engaged, maybe we could also deduce that we could trust their opinions. The proposed bypass is not well supported by the Charlottesville community. It simply doesn't bypass anything. Were we to build a bypass that bypassed something, I could support that. This project was reinvigorated in the middle of the night at a Board of Supervisors meeting with some clever sleight of hand tricks. There were promises of funding for the only community-supported prioritized projects that seemed to be falling by the wayside. The political maneuvering is honestly embarrassing, and it is my hope that this board will see past the smoke and mirrors and do the right thing and let this project die on the vine. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williamson. Robert Humphreys, George Larry, and then L.F. Wood.
Mr. Secretary, Commissioner, and board members, my name is Robert Humphreys from Albemarle County. The Lynchburg Chamber of Commerce and officials have been vocal in their endorsement of the proposed Western Bypass to be their savior of their economic woes by eliminating a perceived major traffic bottleneck. Much incorrect information has been forthcoming. For example, the Lynchburg Chamber gave very false information when their elaborate 2008 brochure stated, quote, VDOT estimates that the average daily travel between Lynchburg and Charlottesville is 62,000 vehicles a day, and estimates that about 6,300 buses and trucks daily travel between our cities, unquote. If this were true, then traffic counts all along 29 would also be in the 62,000 vehicles per day range. This number must actually be the total count at Route 29 Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville. However, the VDOT annual total traffic counts on Route 29 near the Albemarle-Nelson County line. That's between Charlottesville and Richmond. They show only 11,000 vehicles per day in 2008, and it was 8,000 in 1992. I've been checking these for 20 years. The 1990 Origin Destination Study and a technical memorandum of the FEIS predicted the through north-south traffic at this location to be 1,800 vehicles a day for 2,000 and 2,200 vehicles in 2010, with a 2010 total count of almost 10,000 vehicles. It's very close in 2010 is what it is. I think it's 11,000 now today. Thus, with about 80% local traffic at the Albemarle-Nelson County line, and from this origin destination study, the actual through north-south traffic on 29 is only in the 2,000 to 3,000 vehicles a day range. It is certainly not very cost efficient to spend $250 million for this small traffic count and hope that traffic will come. This revealing no low traffic count was never presented by VDOT. Obviously, the perceived traffic of tens of thousands of vehicles per day to justify construction of such a road is not real. Please at least ask for a cost-benefit analysis of this project before adding it into the SYIP. There are several severe impacts at the northern interchange, which have not yet been designed, but it potentially can add tens of thousands of dollars to the project. We have a number of FOI information. Oh, I almost finished one last sentence. The FOI documents we got just last week. We have over 800. Haven't been through all of them yet. But VDOT just recently discovered that this design of 1997 will close Ashwood Boulevard. In order to fix that, it's going to cost millions of dollars and take 66 mobile homes and on and on and on. You've got to see these documents. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Humphries. George Larrie, L.F. Wood.
Mr. Secretary, would you allow Mr. Rooker to speak to ask to leave?
Sure. Supervisor Rooker.
Members of the board, I'm Dennis Rooker. I'm a longtime resident of Albemarle County. I've served on the Board of Supervisors for 10 years there. Served on the MPO for 10 years, and I was on the MPO Technical Committee before that. I've worked in transportation in the area for more than 20 years, seen every transportation study, every traffic study that's been done in the area. How did we get where we are today with the Charlottesville bypass? In 1990, Senator Mark Warner was on the CTV. He voted against this project because he said it was obsolete. That was 21 years ago. Taxpayers for Common Sense and Friends of the Earth four times found this one of the worst transportation projects in the country in terms of wasting taxpayer dollars and damaging the environment at the same time. They've only done that, picked that list four times. The last two secretaries of transportation and commissioners all spent a substantial amount of time, effort, and resources studying this corridor and determined that it did not make sense from the state standpoint to move ahead with this investment of state money. Mr. Rich, who is the representative for the area, does not support the project. The prior CTV member, Butch Davies, who was on the board for 8 years from Culpeper, hardly a no-growth person, did not support the project. He did when he was first appointed. When he came down and studied the traffic numbers, studied the cost, studied where it went, determined that it did not make sense for the state to move forward with the project. You had a $1.5 million Route 29 corridor study just completed about a year ago. Two of the best traffic consultants in the country worked on that. They did not recommend going forward with this project, contrary to what was said earlier, it was not in the report and removed. This road was never in the report, and they said that it would not serve as a reasonable transportation corridor in the state, and they could not recommend it. They did recommend looking at an eastern route, and the board, our board of supervisors, by the way, I'm speaking individually. I'm not speaking for the board of supervisors here. I want to make that clear. Our board did not oppose an eastern route. We merely said it should avoid the conservation and historic areas. After that report came back, you appointed a subcommittee to make recommendations. And your subcommittee just last month issued a report. And that report concluded additional specific work and study to develop a plan to improve mobility and accessibility north of Charlottesville should be done, evaluating various alternatives and not limited to prior proposals. That was a recommendation of your subcommittee after getting the $1.5 million study. Yet here we are today with a hastily put together recommendation that you allocate $200 million to immediately go forward with a short bypass that all objective analysis, all the studies that have been paid for by the state indicate is not a good investment for the state. You just had a PPTA project on the board a few minutes ago. This money is coming out of the PPTA fund. The leverage there was 3-1. There's no leverage in this project. I do want to address a couple of other quick things. The grade separated interchanges, the EIS that was done on this project showed that no matter what you do, if you don't build grade separated interchanges at the two major intersections, the corridor operates at an F level of service. Those were taken out of the plan, not at the request of the Board of Supervisors, but by Mr. Myers, who was on the CTB at the time. Hillsdale Drive, just my last point, Hillsdale Drive is an eastern parallel road that can be built for about $10 million of public money. The design public hearing has been done. The most recent cost estimates are around $25 million, and the studies show that would take about 12,000 vehicles a day off of 29 at its most busy point for about a $10 million public investment. I would urge you to fund that project. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rucker. George Lurie, then L.F. Wood, and then, I'm sorry, is it Saunders Midyet? Midyet? Go ahead, Mr. Lurie.
I'm George Lurie, and I'm speaking for the Charlottesville-Alamar Transportation Coalition. Why don't we support the Route 29 bypass? The answer is simple. It doesn't solve the traffic problem on Route 29, and because the facts don't justify an expenditure of $250 million. According to VDOT's own studies, the traffic on 29 will be F if the bypass is built and the interchanges are not, and they are not currently included. At 6 miles, it's too short. Both Lynchburg and Danville have bypasses that are at least 3 times longer. If this road is built, we will soon have to build a bypass around the bypass,
no kidding,
as Warrenton did. This road would empty out onto Route 29 North in a very congested area. This project was selected over 20 years ago. And since then, there have been major developments between the river and Airport Road. There have been major changes since then, such as Kohl's, Target, National Ground Intelligence Center, etc. No studies to take care of this were ever made. This really is not a bypass. As Supervisor Snow said, it's a connector road to UVA. This project is not ready for construction. Only 2/3 of the right-of-way has been acquired, and the northern interchange has not been designed. As Mr. Rooker said, Taxpayers for Common Sense has picked this 4 times as one of the worst construction projects in the nation. Some say build the bypass and we'll add to it later on. A bad first decision is still a bad decision. You can put lipstick on a pig, but in the end, it's still a pig. We are not against the bypass, just against this short connector road. Give us a real bypass like Lynchburg or Danville. Connect I-64 to Rutgersville. That's the long-term solution. Keep the trucks out of residential neighborhoods. The approved plan, known as Places 29, offers shorter-term solutions to the local traffic on 29 by building parallel roads, which will take more traffic off 29 than the bypass at much less cost. Please do not fund this ill-advised and obsolete road, which has not been cost-justified.
Thank you. Have L.F. Wood. Then I think it's Saunders Mediette, and then Alex Dawson.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and thanks for giving the opportunity to speak, board members. I'm L.F. Wood. I was born and raised in Albemarle County and lived there now for almost 76 years, except for attending the University of Richmond, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I've served on the County Board of Supervisors in Albemarle County for 8 years, served on the Planning Commission for Albemarle County for 8 years. We solved many of our local problems. I'm here today before you as chairman of the North Charlottesville Business Council. Our membership is members of the business community from Barracks Road or the 250 bypass to the Greene County line, and so is our board of directors. And we have been in favor of the Western Bypass for over 2 decades. It has come up, as you have mentioned, many, many times. We've tried to support it and told there's no money. It'll never be built. It's no money. We still tried to solve the problems, and that's where we came up with the list of do the doables. Widen 29 north of the river, widen and extend Burkmar Drive, Hillsdale Road, and some parallel roads. So we tried to do the intermediate things to serve our citizens for a better transportation plan. And we are delighted that this opportunity has come up now so that we can get back to doing what will really solve the situation and build the bypass. If we can get that done along with the other small things that we've been working on for 20 years that we feel we can do in a short period of time with the limited amount of dollars that we have a real solution to the traffic situation all the way from Greensboro to Washington. I'm a little older than most of you fellows, and I can remember when 29 was the main corridor from Maine to Florida because there were no interstates. Now we are a corridor that does a lot of the transportation from the north to the south. One other incidental thing, and I'll be through. I heard a number today that there have been 800 accidents in this little section of 29 now from a river to the 250 bypass. I've also had the pleasure, and I do now, of serving for many years as president of the Seminole Volunteer Fire Company, which is on this corridor. And it is in our first due response for EMS and fire calls. And I can tell you we've serviced every one of those 800 accidents, and it is a dangerous area. This Western Bypass will start to the north and go to the east, and we would urge you to please act favorably on the request before you today, and let's build the road now. Thank you very much, and I appreciate all you letting us speak.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. So is it Saunders Mediette, then Alex Dawson, and yes, Dwayne Snow?
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, and board members. I'm Saunders Mediette, a 20-year resident of Albemarle County. On behalf of the Colfax Neighborhood Board, I'm speaking in opposition to this proposed road. The 10-year-old VDOT financial information traffic environmental for the proposed road lost their validity long ago. These studies need to be updated in order for the Transportation Board to make a sound financial decision on such an expensive road project. The VDOT traffic studies under two former transportation secretaries concluded that the estimated $250 million road cost could not be justified by just siphoning off only 10% through traffic using Route 29 North, which is would not significantly improve the F failing rating of traffic flow on Route 29 North. In concluding, I would urge the CTB to step back and not to rush to judgment and not fall victim to the old adage of haste makes waste. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Alex Dotson, then Dwayne Snow, then Rodney Thomas.
My name is Alex Dotson. I've lived in Charlottesville and Albemarle since 1980. I have several small businesses in that area. I want to go on record that I oppose this bypass, or the so-called bypass. I also call it the two-headed monster that won't die. I clearly remember in the earlier days of the planning phase of this, we saw numerous alternatives, and one of them was alternative 10. And we kind of joked because we said, how could they possibly choose that? It impacts, you know, numerous schools, established neighborhoods, and most importantly, the most important thing you have to note, it goes within 300 feet of our major source of water, the reservoir, with an associated 45-degree slope. It's joined right with the reservoir. I could go over all the details of why this reservoir shouldn't be built, but I guess the bottom line is, I guess, as they say, common sense is not so common after all. I have an expression that applies to situations like this. I used to be disgusted. Now I'm just amused. I'm sorry to report today I'm still disgusted. I travel all over the state. I go to Hampton Roads on a regular basis. Yesterday I just went to Clarksville in Bugs Island area. I've been in Southwest Virginia. And I'd like to report, or I need to report, that VDOT has a lot of work to do. We have a lot of roads out there that need a lot of work in a lot of different areas. So the question I have is, where is the logic in building new roads when we're having problems taking care of what we already have? We have roads and bridges in Charlottesville that are falling apart in front of our eyes. We need to allocate funds towards that. I'm going to deviate just for a second. I'll make it brief from normal discussions. What if I told you I could solve all your traffic problems and it wouldn't require building any roads? I think you'd probably be interested in that. And it's a very simple solution. It's as simple as this. Go on green, stop on red, maintain posted speed limit. Everyone has heard of distracted driving, but I don't think anybody's heard of dazed driving. Dazed driving can be observed when most traffic lights, when they turn green, there's a 10 to 15 second delay before anyone moves. I often comment, I guess this is one of those delayed greens. The question I have is, if anybody's ever driven in Europe or in London, their traffic lights go from green. If you're driving down the road, they go green. Okay. They go from green to amber to red, which is normal. Now, when you're setting at the red light, they go from, they're red, they go amber, green. Amber means you get ready to go. Okay? Green means you're gone. Okay? So anyway, let me summarize. Go on green, stop on red, maintain posted speed limit, spend your funds on roads that need to be repaired. Let's use common sense. Problem solved.
Thank you. Dwayne Snow, Rodney Thomas, Milton Moore.
We call it a drag race.
Good afternoon. My name is Dwayne Snow, and I am Vice Chair on the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and I also serve on the MPO Board. I've lived in Charlottesville all of my life. In fact, my grandchildren make seven generations. When the 250 bypass was built, it ran within 100 yards of my house on Evergreen Avenue. And that was, as far as I know, that was the last major road that was built in Charlottesville other than the bypass. and that was built 58 years ago. The Interstate 64 was built 42 years ago. And since then, I don't think we've spent any major money on primary roads in the Charlottesville, Albemarle area since then. We've widened 29, but that, as you can see, is outdated at this point. I understand the how upset people can get when the bypass is running close to their house. My family lived on the Blue Ridge Parkway when they were moved off, and but I don't think that was a wrong decision. I think so many people have been able to enjoy that. The this bypass has been questioned as to whether it's a real bypass or a connector road. And you've heard several people say that I've called it a connector road. And it is a connector road. It's a very valuable connector road, but it is also a bypass. If you've been in Charlottesville lately, in the morning during the traffic rush hour, you have the people coming in from Forest Lakes, Hollymead, and Ruckersville, all through that area, come down and go into the UVA grounds, the UVA hospital, the UVA school, the law school, all the different things that are there at UVA. When they come down with the bypass and once it's built, they will be able to get on the bypass and come over and exit right into the UVA grounds, where there's parking areas, there's a parking garage, there's shuttle buses that can get them out to that area and then back home. So it's a very important road. You've also heard that it eliminates 14 lights. If you're going south, if you eliminate those 14 lights, the very next light is all the way in Nelson County. And then I imagine you can almost get all the way to the North Carolina border with 14 more lights. If you're going north, you can go all the way to the other side of Culpeper and still not hit 14 lights. So when you say 14 lights, that's a big difference, and I think it's important that we stop studying this and start building. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snow. Supervisor Snow. Rodney Thomas, Milton Moore, Shirley Midyet.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, and the board, thank you for allowing me to speak. I am also an Albemarle County supervisor. I am also chairman of the MPO in Albemarle's Charlottesville MPO. This road has been around 20 years, and it's VDOT has had it on their books for 20 years, ready to be constructed, and then of course it got stopped. And the opposition has been loud as we've moved through this, but the numbers are not what you think they are. The opposition is very, very vocal, and there have been some polls, not scientific polls run, but just in the last few days, and the poll came out as 83% in favor of the bypass. Now, I can't state that as being a fact. It's because I don't know whether it was scientific or what. It was a TV station that did it. I think it was a phone-in. So it's not a matter of the entire area is against this. 68% of the right-of-way has been purchased, and we've been sitting up there with the state leasing this property out all those years. We also know and found, I just found this out, and if I'm wrong, some of the people got paid for noise, sound. If they're in the path of the bypass, they got paid extra dollars because they're in hearing the cars go by. Now, where'd that money go? But that means they put it in their pocket because they were being damaged, and I understand that. Albemarle County has grown by 40,000 people since the inception of the bypass, and this may go back as far as 87 when it first started. University of Virginia has increased its enrollment by approximately 10,000. And I will hurry up, thank you. We don't have any primary transportation improvements. We haven't had any. Our per capita allowance that we've been given in Alamore County has been $41 per capita. And why? I mean, because we don't know what we want. We do know this road needs to be built. And by the way, I'm representing myself. I guess I should say that. I request that the board vote 100% in favor of these projects and the improvements that the Commonwealth MPO board has requested. Thank you very much. And Carol, thank you for my credit card. I lost it in the parking lot.
How do you think we paid for lunch? Milton Moore, Shirley Mediet, and then Sherry Kennedy Early. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm Milton Moore from Albemarle County. I served on the Charlottesville Albemarle Transportation Committee, which advises the MPO for several years, a long time ago. By the way, the opposition last Wednesday was 65% opposed to the bypass before the Board of Supervisors. To those of you who believe that the Charlottesville bypass will reduce traffic congestion in the Route 29 corridor, I invite you to take a tour of the 6.2-mile route, which I believe will eventually cost well over $300 million. The least that you can do is obtain accurate data about why this destructive road has been rejected the past 20 years by government officials at all levels and thousands of citizens. The background of how the road was revived by VDOT is interesting, especially involving Secretary Connaughton and two members of the Albemarle Board of Supervisors who have spoken today. According to the two who also serve on the MPO, the Secretary requested a meeting with them on April the 4th. At that meeting, he asked if they would support the bypass, and they said only three priority projects were addressed. The Secretary then asked if the CTB is able to fund your projects, would you support the bypass, and they said yes. At the Board of Supervisors meeting on June 1st, these two members tried to remove wording in the Board of Supervisors' records that prevented the bypass from being built until certain projects were completed. Their effort failed, and they reported this to the Secretary the next day. On the afternoon of June 8th, Secretary Connaughton called Board of Supervisors member Lindsay Dorier and persuaded him to change his vote of June 1st by confirming the funding of the bypass. Mr. Dorier claims that he was late to the Board of Supervisors meeting that evening due to traffic, so he could not get his change of vote on the regular agenda. At 11:35 p.m. after the regular meeting, these bypass supporters invoked a rarely used method to suspend the Board of Supervisor rules and vote on Mr. Dorier's decision to change his vote of the previous week. And it passed. The bypass was revived. The next step is for you to approve the funding, and then it goes to the MPO next Wednesday for approval. Since the MPO will be split 2-2, the city opposes the bypass, Mr. Utterback will cast the deciding vote for VDOT. It's a done deal. Recently, some of us have been reviewing over 800 pages of VDOT documents obtained by the Freedom of Information Act. The lack of transparency and the efforts to revive and fund this bypass is very evident. The true cost cannot be determined and verified, and until it can, until you know a great deal more about the road, I strongly recommend that you not approve this funding. And finally, a 2010 survey of Virginia's 58,000-mile road system that's published in the Daily Progress said that these roads were deficient. 26.7% of primary roads, 21.6% of interstate system is deficient, and a whopping 34.2% of secondary roads is deficient. So I think we spend our money better elsewhere. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Shirley Mediet, and then Sherry Kennedy Early, and then Jack Sanford.
Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Shirley Mediet. I'm a resident of Albemarle County, and to cut right to the chase, I'm against the bypass. But as I look around, there are a lot of intelligent people here who do a lot of work for the public good, and we do appreciate it. But very few people have the opportunity to right a wrong. A wrong being, of course, the proposed Western Bypass, and that's a design that has a rating of F, that you have the opportunity to fund locally, help the local people, roads that we know will improve, roads that we know will improve the congested 29 corridor. So if you complete the parallel extensions of Berkmar Drive and also Hillsdale Road, that gives the local people the option of driving those roads. They don't want to be tied up in traffic any more than the people who are driving north to south or south to north and passing through Virginia. We don't like the congestion, but we thought about it, and that's the delay. We have thought about it. This is a time when our nation is in a financial crisis, and funding for roads, for Virginia roads, for local roads, it's in your hands. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to right a wrong. Take the time. I know this has been around a long time. You're tired of it. Get it off the agenda. Move along. But take the time. Right the wrong. And deny the requested funding for the bypass. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, ma'am. Is it Sherry Kennedy Early? And Jack Sanford and Elizabeth Ike?
I'm Sherry Kennedy Early. I'm a resident of Albemarle County. Thank you for hearing us. We need to be heard, the residents of Albemarle County. I myself am really shamed that our MPO and Board of Supervisors who were sent here to speak up and ask you to please do our tip list, are things that we need for our community, and then we would consider doing the bypass. Then we would consider. I just heard them both say, I'm for the bypass. That's not what they were saying the other day. They've turned around on us. And, I mean, this road to begin with was regurgitated back. It was dead. And then somebody had the gall to regurgitate it back on the table right here at the last minute, put us all under pressure, and say, let's build this road that's a bad road to begin with. It has terminus. Both the southern and the northern terminuses are right where we go into work, go to school, go out to shop, whatever. They're right there smack in the middle of it. And, in fact, it's smack in the middle where a young woman who's in her car to go to high school was killed by a truck within this last year or so. This isn't a bypass. A bypass needs to be outside. Richmond has 295. It has 288, 295. That's not 6.2 miles. 495 is not 6.2 miles. They skirt the city. We need something to skirt the city. We want a bypass. We want something that's going to bring traffic all around. Start way low on 29, south of our business connectors. Where it's starting is right in our transit areas, our local community. Start south, way down, connect over to 20 south. That way we can get away from all that curvy road that so many deaths have occurred on 20 south and get to Scottsville and north, south and all the trucks that want to take the logging down that way. Okay, go around from 20 south, connect to 250, to 64 east, to 15 north, to 33 east. Then go over to 29 north, and don't just stop there. Go over, have a little connector come down to 33 at Rutgersville. They have a nice little bypass at Standardsville. Can you please go over the mountain? Is there a law against that, or is it because of the George Washington Parkway? Get over the mountain. We have 66, we have 64. Get a fast way over the mountain there. 33 is really good over there at 33 West at Elkton.
great big road goes to 81. You don't have to build another road. Just use that one or build a bypass that goes by that one, connects down to it, gets you to 81. You've got the big picture. You got the loop. Go for that. Don't go for this little teeny bit of a thing.
Thank you, Mr. Early. Appreciate it. Jack Sanford. Then Elizabeth Ike. Then John Owen.
Secretary Connaughton, Commissioner Worley, members of the board, and Mr. Miller, welcome to the CTB.
Twice today.
My name is Jack Sanford, and I'm president of Faulkner Construction Company in Charlottesville, a large heavy highway contractor which traces its roots back to the late 1800s and has been part of the construction in Charlottesville of the original 250 bypass, the widening of the eight lanes of 29 North that you approved several years ago from Hydraulic Road to Rio Road, the UVA Connector Road, and I'm in the process currently today of completing the first phase of the Meadow Creek Parkway. Therefore, I feel I come to you with some knowledge to speak to the transportation system in Charlottesville, its needs, its cost, and its pitfalls. Over the last 10 years, I have lobbied the General Assembly and VDOT for increased funding for transportation and long-term sustainable funding solutions across the state, to little overall success until this year's bond proposal. Today, you will be asked to amend the currently approved six-year plan to include additional funding for the Western Bypass. The dollars requested, as I understand, will be approximately $178 to $198 million for the construction of the bypass, and an additional $34 to $40 million for the widening of Route 29 near the northern terminus, for a total of between $212 to $238 million. This is roughly $250 million. I must point out that the rights-of-ways of both the northern terminus and the southern terminus have not yet been purchased or acquired to date. According to the department, the estimates for the northern junction will require a right-of-way purchase of $29 to $40 million. The southern junction will require about $26 million. The estimate for the northern interchange is approximately $75 million, and the more complex southern interchange could be approximately $100 million. Those four items alone could total over $200 million. These additional items will likely exceed alone the money you are considering today in your amendment for the construction of the entire project, and you have not yet funded the other plus or minus 6.2 miles of roadway, which now includes a newly proposed bridge over the Rivanna River, the 1,000-foot bridge behind Elmo High School, along with other proposed over and underpasses. The department currently reports through its own V-Trans studies a projected shortfall of needed highway funding statewide to bring its entire highway system up to acceptable standards of an excess of $2 billion per year, and has for several years now. I must ask you, is it prudent and responsible to spend far in excess of $300 million to build a road which is stated by former Secretaries of Transportation Clement and Homer and is offered in a report by then VDOT Commissioner Schuchette as a road that has outlived its life as currently designed before it is built? This written conclusion resides in today in VDOT's files. Members of the board, I encourage each of you to do the prudent, wise, and political, non-political thing and vote no to the amend the six-year plan today to include this project. As a contractor, I can assure you firsthand the industry is in dire straits and needs good projects to be built. But in no way as a contractor or a citizen of the state can I support this wasteful use of precious few state funding dollars.
I'm sorry, you're way over.
One second.
Mr. Sanford. Sanford, I'm trying to keep everyone. I've given leeway. Please.
Well, to Mr. Lane's point, Mr. Davis's point, and you, Mr. Peake, I think we need to spend this money prudent. We need to do the work
Elizabeth
in the corridor and
Elizabeth
do the
Ike,
interchanges,
John
and
Owen.
Not the bypass. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
No, Mr. Sanford, thank you. Elizabeth Ike, John Owen, Beth Kuhn.
My name is Beth Ike. I live in the city of Charlottesville. The folks who travel the U.S. 29 corridor and those of us arguing against this proposed Western bypass all agree with one thing. Charlottesville needs a true bypass, like Lynchburg or Danville. a road that offers a route around Charlottesville and not simply through it. With due respect to Mr. Myers, this is not the right placement for a bypass. A 1998 JLARC review even called attention to this particular project siting process, stating the process deviated from typical location processes used by VDOT. We heard a little bit about rail earlier this morning, so I'd like to share with y'all a railway term I've learned can be applied to roads. It's shoofly, S-H-O-O-fly. This is what Secretary Connaughton would have us build. The process by which this road is being justified as suspect and the resulting ill will and potential litigation will wind up wasting more money in a time of economic distress for all municipalities involved. Unlike Lynchburg's bypass, which crosses through just Amherst and Campbell counties, or Danville's bypass, which traverses Pennsylvania County alone, a true bypass to Charlottesville, wooing cooperation of many counties, including potentially Greene, Orange, Albemarle, and maybe more. The counties are drawn and Charlottesville sited in such a way that this challenge demands broad participation and cooperation. I recognize the geology and the topography of this project, of this region, will make it difficult. I do not mean to suggest any of this will be easy, but I do think it's the place of the CCB to initiate these conversations. I implore you to do so. The proposed road is an ill-conceived mini-expressway that will not adequately address the needs of the corridor. Please invest in our existing infrastructure, which needs to be addressed now. Let's work to find a new path for a true bypass. I want to make a quick note on Mr. Thomas's survey quote. Many of the folks I talked to were under the impression the road in the news was actually the Meadow Creek Parkway. I've corrected a lot of the folks I've spoken with. So perhaps the 80% were for finishing the Meadow Creek Parkway. This has come up so suddenly, it's been tough to act. I took a day off of a new job to speak to you today, and I have lots of friends who are unable to come, so please know the opposition is great. I thank you for your time, attention, cooperation, and most of all your service to the Commonwealth.
Thank you, Ms. Ike. John Owen, Beth Kuhn, Tom Bailey.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, and members of the board, there's a connection between urban planning and Major League Baseball. In urban planning, one of the first things you learn is that in most cities, particularly in Virginia, the expensive real estate and the movement of growth is always toward the west of town. Major League Baseball tells you to hit them where they ain't. Therefore, the rule about bypasses should be to build bypasses to the east, build them wide, and build them long. Now, this was first proven in the case of Warrington. As you know, Warrington started out with a modest little bypass to the west. It was short, it was inexpensive, and became completely useless. And then they got wise and they built a bypass to the east, which is working well. Now, it said those who ignore the lessons of history are condemned to repeat it. Most of the communities in Virginia have learned the lesson of history. Lynchburg learned it well. They built a wide bypass, a long bypass, and a beautiful bypass to a completely unspoiled rural environment, and I commend them for it. And if you look at the bypasses in Virginia from Route 66 to the North Carolina border, 7 of 10 are to the east. The exceptions are Ruckersville and Gretna, and Alta Vista, not huge urban developments in any case. Now, the problem we have is the bypass to be built around Chuckersville. Chuckersville is the name we'll give to the metropolis when Ruckersville and Charlottesville combine, which they're headed toward at a rapid rate. By the time we could build that bypass, they would be joined together. I suggest that we start at the Rapidan River and go straight to the nearest point on I-64. That's only 8 miles, which is only 1 mile longer than the Lynchburg bypass from Amherst to Route 460. If we had that, we could send traffic through Albemarle County without a single stoplight from Nelson County to Madison County. And I think we'd be all proud of that.
Yeah, Mr. Allen, your time's up.
Yes, but if we ignore the lessons of history, we will end up with another version of Warrington number one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Beth Kuhn, then Tom Bailey, then Carolyn Bertram.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. My name is Beth Kuhn, and I'm a resident of Albemarle County. Today I'd like to address health concerns related to the proposed Western Bypass, especially as they impact children. Current information based on relatively recent studies shows that children whose homes or schools are close to highways have an increased long-term incidence of respiratory disorders and learning problems when compared to children who are not exposed on a regular basis to vehicle emissions on highways. The Environmental Protection Agency, on its risk management research webpage, states, "Research has established that people who live, work, or attend school near major roads have an increased incidence and severity of particular health problems that may be related to air pollution from heavy traffic. Children who are growing and developing are especially vulnerable to the long-term health hazards of fine particulate pollution generated by trucks burning diesel fuel." In one relatively recent study that was published in 2004, it's a prospective study that's particularly notable because it followed students who were from 10 to 18 years of age. They found that it was not only students with weaknesses such as bronchitis or asthma who had problems with lung function, but they found that otherwise normal students had measurable deficits in lung function when they were exposed to over a long period of time to these emissions. These students, since lung development is mostly finished by age 18, possibly have long-term permanent damage. As a result of these research findings, some states have passed laws preventing highways from being built closer to 500 feet from schools and playgrounds. This current proposed bypass is as close as 100 feet from one playground and within 500 feet for all of the six schools that would be impacted. Currently, about 4,000 children attend these schools, with about 230 new students entering every year. Many of these students will pass their entire K through 12 education in proximity to the road. I would strongly urge you to investigate alternatives to this particular bypass. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Tom Bailey, Carolyn Bertram, John Connolly.
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary, Commissioner, Board. Thank you for your patience on this very long afternoon. I'm also a longtime resident of Albemarle County. And last week we also had a couple of very contentious meetings on this same subject. And of course there was disagreement, but we all did seem to agree on one thing, that this is a matter that concerns not only Charlottesville, Albemarle, and the communities along the Route 29 corridor, but all Virginians. The proponents of the so-called bypass all offered some variation of, "We're frustrated, please build the road." And if they offered anything, it was anecdotal evidence at best that it would help. The opponents countered that we're frustrated too, but studies and common sense show that this short road won't solve our traffic problems or the problems of Lynchburg or Danville. And if I can offer some anecdotal evidence of my own, along with a little bit of common sense, I drive that section of road regularly in my work, both up and down at all times of day. I find that the traffic lights are pretty well coordinated, and it seldom takes me more than about 15 minutes to go through that stretch. It seems to me that the trucks would take at least 7 minutes to get through the 6-mile bypass. So that's an 8-9 minute saving at best. It's hard for me to understand how this is going to be a big deal for the economies of Lynchburg and Danville. But nevertheless, even as we do that, it destroys neighborhoods, impacts six schools, as Beth just described, threatens our drinking water, depresses county tax revenues significantly, and draws perhaps $300 million or more from badly needed projects in other parts of our cash-strapped commonwealth. You can see that I'm opposed to this project, and I am perhaps influenced, as we all are, by a certain amount of self-interest, even as I try to think foremost of the interests of our community and our state. But I truly believe that the elected and appointed officials who have the real power to make or break this project also have the best interests of Virginians in mind. But I'm not convinced that all of them are taking the long view. I remind them of a project that was pretty big in the news a couple of years ago, known as the Bridge to Nowhere. Alaskan officials must have thought that they were doing the right thing, and they were happy to take the federal money and endorse that bridge because a certain local faction wanted it. But when the wider world learned about it, and the bigger political goals were at stake, it didn't seem like such a great idea. Similarly, this Charlottesville Western Bypass is the 6-mile road to nowhere. It goes to nowhere that will be of any real long-term help to through traffic, nowhere that will ease the frustration of local drivers, and all at huge tangible and intangible costs. I submit that after the dust settles and the money's all gone, it begins to become clear to all Virginians that it's been squandered on a mistake, that anyone who endorses this project will regret it. And by that time, it'll be too late to get a road that really bypasses Charlottesville because there'll be no money.
Mr. Bailey, Carolyn Bertram.
Thank you.
Please, thank you. John Conley. Kirk Bowers.
Good afternoon. I'm Caroline Bertram, and I'm a resident from Omaha County. I gathered from your comments this morning that your job is really tough because everybody you encounter considers themselves an expert in your field because they drive on your road. So thank you for giving me my 3 minutes of expertise. And I'm coming here to say please reconsider this particular design of the bypass. It does not meet the needs of the through traffic because it cuts through only half of Omaha's growth area. It does not meet the needs of our local traffic, which consists of, as of what we know is the latest study, 90% of the traffic on 29, which is what we keep coming back to the local needs, because that's 90% of the traffic. And the reason it doesn't meet the local needs is because there are no interchanges, there's no way to use this road except for going through. The road threatens our water supply, the road threatens our neighborhoods, the road threatens our school and the health of our children, and my kids have attended all of their school career in the same school, so they would be for 12 years of their life in this environment and breathing the air. And I really don't understand why this particular design has been revived so quickly, why we are being told it's time to put up or shut up on this particular design, and I urge you all to reconsider. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Bertram. John Conley, then Kirk Bowers, then Tom Oliver.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, members of the board, my name is John Cooley, and I am the transportation planner for Culpeper County. I am here today on behalf of Culpeper County Board of Supervisors to briefly express our position regarding the Route 3 four-laning project. Let me start by emphasizing how very important the project is to Culpeper County and to the region. The following is taken from the website set up by the VDOT Culpeper District for the Route 3 project. And I quote, "The primary need is improvement of safety along the Route 3 corridor. Between 2006 and 2009, there were 69 crashes on the 4.6-mile two-lane segment of Route 3. 7 people died and another 62 people were injured seriously. 2 more people died in a crash in 2010. Our own Board of Supervisors Chairman Bill Chase was very nearly killed on this stretch of road. Within the last 6 months, State Senator Ed Houck was involved in an accident. Safety is a primary concern and is dependent upon successful completion of this project. In support of Mr. Utterback's earlier presentation, I would like to highlight a few points from a Board of Supervisors resolution, which was adopted on May 3, 2011, and which had previously been provided to the CTB. The Board of Supervisors has previously referred this matter to the Agricultural and Forestal District Advisory Committee and to the Planning Commission regarding potential impacts upon the Stevensburg Agricultural and Forestal District, and received recommendation from both groups advising that VDOT should widen Route 3 on its existing alignment as opposed to using the bypass alternative. The recently adopted 2010 Culpeper County Comprehensive Plan specifically supports the widening of Route 3 and further specifically supports staying on the existing alignment. The 2010 Comprehensive Plan was subject to multiple community meetings and formal public hearings, and no opposition to the plans for Route 3 was expressed. And lastly, the impact upon historic resources and farmland is more severe under the bypass alternative. In short, the board feels strongly that it's time for this project to move forward. In regard to today's action, the Board of Supervisors of Culpeper County strongly urges the approval of the widening of Route 3 between Stevensburg and Lignum on its existing alignment. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on this very important transportation improvement project.
Thank you, Mr. Cooley. Kirk Bowers, then Tom Oliver, and then Emerald Young.
Good afternoon, honored members of the board. I'm Kirk Bowers. I live in the Ravenna district of Albemarle County. I'm a licensed professional engineer with over 30 years experience, and I'm one of the first families of Virginia. My family came here in 1619. I'd like to speak against the bypass today. Also, I was told I need to represent 10,000 voters in my district today. The Democratic Party told me to make sure I mentioned that. I'm a party official in Ravenna. There are over 15,000 voters in Ravenna. 10,000 of those voters oppose the bypass. And I can speak, and I know this because I speak to a lot of people constantly. On June 8, 2011, the people of Albemarle County were bushwhacked by a late-night decision by our Board of Supervisors to petition our MPA to include the U.S. 29 bypass in the current six-year plan. There was no public hearing before the vote was taken. No public input at all prior to the decision. A public hearing was held on July 13th, during which 75% of the 400 or 500 people who showed up opposed the bypass. The following day, the MPO held a meeting at which the majority of speakers opposed the bypass. There are good reasons why we, the people of Albemarle County, oppose this bypass. Number one, the plan for the alignment of the bypass was designed 15 to 20 years ago. Since that time, Charlottesville, Albemarle has seen tremendous growth. You're going right through our neighborhoods. Six schools are affected. I'd like to pass this around, if I may, Mr. Chairman. The overall impact to our communities and neighborhoods is just too great for us to bear. We don't oppose a bypass, but what I keep hearing is the bypass is in the wrong place. As a civil engineer, really, it's a throughway or an expressway, not a bypass. Decline of property values, extreme noise pollution, environmental degradation, and the wholesale and destruction of communities will add to the deterioration of our quality of life, which is very valuable to us in Charlottesville, extremely valuable. Originally, I'm from Salem. $196 million, the per mile cost is $31.6 per mile. And that's an above-average cost for a below-average road. Last, and I'll finish up by saying that elections are in 4 months. The composition of the Board of Supervisors will change. It will no longer be Republican. And I can say that without any doubt. So please save us all the trouble of passing this now, because we're going to be back here again next year telling you guys to take it off the list. Thank you.
Tom Olivieri, then Emerald Young, then Tarsum Cal. Oh.
Good afternoon. I'm Tom Olivier. Sorry. Good afternoon. Sorry. I'm Tom Olivier. I live in Albemarle County. And I'm speaking on behalf of the Piedmont Group at the Sierra Club. The Piedmont Group represents over 1,000 members in the Piedmont region of Virginia. Our membership area includes Albemarle County and the city of Charlottesville. For years, our organization has opposed the Charlottesville Western Bypass. We still do. Our reasons include the proposed route runs near the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir and six schools. It thus presents environmental hazards. The proposed route now begins, runs through, and ends in developed areas. A state study shows that the bulk of traffic on it is local. The bypass will not end U.S. 29 traffic congestion. The bypass will be expensive, hundreds of millions of dollars. the dollars it consumes could, in this period of government austerity, surely be better spent toward other Commonwealth transportation projects. We have read that the Culpeper Chamber of Commerce shares this concern. We note that environmental impact studies for the bypass now are about 8 to 10 years old. We believe they need to be repeated. We appreciate the desire of residents of Lynchburg for a vibrant economy. However, we doubt that the proposed Charlottesville Western Bypass, with its limited ability to improve movement of traffic through Charlottesville, can have a large effect on the movement of freight out of in and out of Lynchburg. If your studies show the limits to the Commonwealth's transportation system truly constitute a key limit to Lynchburg's economic development, some other solution is needed. The Piedmont Group urges you to deny funding for the proposed Charlottesville Western Bypass. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Emerald Young? Then, I'm sorry, Stuart Shorts, then Chuck Clayton.
Hello, I'm Emerald Young. I'm a resident of Albemarle County. I live in the Scottsville District, and I'm here to oppose the bypass. It does threaten the drinking water for our area, which serves about 80,000 people. Additionally, the push for this design for the bypass is baffling, and it lacks transparency. Why is not the commercial districts to the south, Lynchburg, why are they not lobbying for a better design? Because this particular design, in addition to the risk to the Charlottesville area, the drinking water, the schools, and the school children, it doesn't really accomplish the desired effect of bypassing city traffic. So, I have in my hands the Albemarle County recommended priorities for their six-year plan, and out of the major improvements, which there are 14, 9 of them have no funding. No funding for design, no funding for construction. For the transit improvements of the Albemarle plan, there are 4. 2 of them have no funding. For the safety improvements for Albemarle, there's 8 suggested and 6 are unfunded. So the conclusion would be that the $250 million or so for this flawed bypass could very well be spent better for local road improvements.
Thank you, ma'am. Stuart Schwartz? No? Chuck Caton? Roy Beckner?
Chairman, I have to ask, thank you very kindly.
Robin Group? David Dixon? Dixon? Then Wendy Hubbard? Then Wade Watson.
Mr. Secretary, members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, my name is David Dixon. I am a program manager for the Virginia Chapter of the Sierra Club, and the chapter supports the position of its Piedmont group in opposing the Route 29 bypass in Charlottesville for the reasons already explained by Mr. Olivier, the group's chair. But in addition, we have other concerns about the actions you will be taking today, or likely be taking today, to allocate funding for the bypass project. In doing so, it seems like you will be circumventing and negating the work of the 29 Corridor Subcommittee and the resolution you unanimously adopted last month to accept the subcommittee's report and its well-thought-out proposal for a facilitated interjurisdictional discussion process aimed at reaching consensus on solutions to accessibility and mobility issues for Route 29 north of Charlottesville, and I think Supervisor Rooker also pointed that out. So I would urge you to either deny or delay the decision to fund the Route 29 bypass today and allow the proposed interjurisdictional discussion process to proceed unencumbered by a predetermined outcome, which is what your vote to fund or allocate funds to the project would do. And I thank you all very much.
Thank you, Ms. Dixon. Is Wendy Hubbard still here? No? How about Wade Watson or Chuck Grayton?
If you were calling Chuck Rotkin, that would be me.
Or Rotkin, yes, I'm
and,
sorry.
And Mr. Secretary, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Commissioner, members of the board, I am Chuck Rotkin, a long-term resident and business owner in the Charlottesville and Albemarle County area, and I'm going to nominate every one of you people for sainthood for having sat through this public hearing. On behalf of the many public, many organizations that fit under our Great Eastern Management Company umbrella, I want to offer our strong support for constructing the Western Bypass. Since the late 1980s, together with others in the business community, we have worked closely with both the city and the county to create and maintain the vibrancy of our main commercial boulevard, Route 29 North. Construction of the Western Bypass is critical to maintaining the integrity of that commercial boulevard. Whereas VDOT has a primary need of moving traffic as fast as possible through this corridor, city and county businesses have a need to slow that traffic down as much as possible. As we have been arguing for 20-plus years, these two needs are not compatible. It is just not possible for any road to function both as a high-speed federal highway and a main commercial boulevard. In fact, a level of F service, even with the bypass in an urban corridor like Route 29, is exactly what the business people want. Until the recent and welcome actions by the Secretary and the Albemarle Board of Supervisors, our area has been content to remain the choke point on a main and highly important federal highway, much to the economic detriment of our neighbors to the north and south, each of which, a long time ago, had their bypasses built around their communities. While perhaps not the ideal, the Western Bypass is an immediate, partial solution to a long-term problem. As the gentleman board member to my left suggested earlier, it is one of many projects, no one of which will solve the transportation problem, but helpful for the overall network. And the potential default may very well be an expressway concept with grade separated interchanges along Route 29 that was mentioned by another speaker earlier. That would be years in the future, almost assuredly be considerably more expensive than the Western Bypass and would not avoid any more stoplights. It would also be devastating to the city and county businesses and local tax bases along the corridor. In concluding, we all need to just stipulate that whenever and wherever a new road is proposed is likely to be controversial, much like the 250 bypass east-west in Charlottesville. Fortunately, 60 years ago, a strong city manager made the unpopular decision to build that bypass. Can you imagine what Charlottesville would be like without it? We are fortunate that we currently have our own Jim Bowen in the form of four courageous Albemarle Board of Supervisor members. I respectfully suggest that it's time to build this important road and urge this board to approve the funding recommended by the Secretary. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, this finishes everyone who's signed up. I'm going to go to the first, well, actually, before we get to the first one, I'm sorry, we need to just do a little housekeeping. If any of the Secretary to sign the minutes, is that correct? Just ask DVA just a moment. Normally, the Secretary of the Board is the most senior member of the Board, and now I'm the most senior member, Mr. Keene.
Yay.
Do we have a motion to make Mr. Keene the Secretary of the Board?
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Next what's one? His salary?
No.
He gets to buy lunch.
Tell what he makes today.
You got that guy's credit card.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Get a different perspective on this side.
We're glad you moved over here.
Note that at the minutes of June 15th, 2011. Any changes, additions?
Move approved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. We have maintenance division. Mr. Williams. This is simply naming a bridge? Okay. Mr. Peake?
Yes, I move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Excellent. Thank you very much. Mr. Estes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I've got a couple items in front of you today. And the first one deals with a revenue sharing reallocation in the Bristol District. This is our standard items that we normally have to move funds between revenue sharing projects.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much.
The next item, Mr. Chairman, deals with the item we discussed last month, follows the June discussion, where as a reminder, the board approved local maintenance payments in the ballpark of around $365 million to local governments, as 81 cities and towns, as well as Arlington and RICO. And during that approval, there was some discussion about looking at the equitable distribution of those funds. And the resolution in front of the board simply, I think, quickly summarizes what the board asked us to do, to put together a committee of the at-large members to look at this and report back to the board with some recommendations by the end of this calendar year.
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Coleman.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to cause trouble, but I feel compelled to offer a couple of additional words. Equity in the distribution certainly is important, but effective response to allocation of funds in the first place also is. I'd like to propose an amendment that would, in the last resolve clause, say recommendations for the effective and equitable distribution of maintenance funds.
So are we okay with that?
Mr. Chair, I want to just clarify and make sure I understand. So if in the case, like we have some communities where pavement's really deteriorating and they might have a higher priority need than you see in some of the other areas that have had lots of funds go into their per lane mile. Correct. It would allow for that priority to be placed, let's say it's here in Richmond, that the board would look or this committee would look at, maybe they'd need to put more money in a place where you have more deteriorating routes.
Mr. Chairman,
I think that captures my point, which is at any one time, the equitable distribution itself won't necessarily address the priority problems, but the two words together would allow us to be able to be responsive with respect.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Miller.
I understand what he's trying to do. I interpret equity not to mean equal. It means equitable, which is a different word. But I accept the spirit. I mean, I understand the spirit of what he means. Equitable to me means you can treat different people differently as long as you treat them fairly and equitably. Doesn't mean you give them the same. It means you do it equitably. I think that's the proper language. But this would make it more clear, perhaps. And
we have a motion with that motion of that.
That is a friendly amendment.
Mr. Chairman, does anyone envision the intent of this committee to begin to look at the devolution process that we're hearing some? But I know there's a study on the maintenance of secondary roads. I hadn't seen that study, but I've read references to it.
I saw a copy of the report. I don't think we intended it with this for that.
Yeah, no, this is that's going to be a part of a much bigger discussion. We'll have that discussion in September.
A huge discussion.
Okay.
And
we appreciate seeing that. And
yeah. No, I thought it should have gone out to everyone. I'll go back and check.
Mr. Chairman,
we were waiting for hard copies to send it out to you all.
Somehow I got a copy, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I thought we sent it out, but I'll go back and make sure. We'll make sure you all have copies.
But it will be separate from this issue.
Yeah, this is really about the issue of the fact that you have counties like Arlington get 16,000, and Rico get 12, the cities get 9, and then we're putting 3,000 per lane mile. Why some of them get more, why some of them get less, why isn't it simply as a one number? And came up during the discussion on the 6-year plan.
Yeah.
Right. Call for the question on the motion.
Do we have a motion yet? So do we have a motion?
We do have a motion.
You have a friendly amendment.
I'm sorry.
Second. With a friendly amendment.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? I'm sorry. We will make sure you get time. I thought it went out. Everyone. We sent that to the General Assembly as well. We'll make sure. All right, let's start it back.
Sure.
Culpepper.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, members of the board, this action is for the location approval of the widening Route 3 that I talked about this morning, which is probably about five hours ago now.
I move approval of this, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. All right, location design, it's on the road.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Commissioner, members of the board, you have in front of you a request for location approval, Purcell Road, located in Northern Virginia District Office. It is a Prince William County administered project. It will realign and reconstruct Purcell Road from Dumfries Road to Vista Brook Drive. East of Vista Brook Drive, the project will provide improvements to address a substandard curb. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Move so approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Brack? Mr. Farney? No, Mr. Farney. Yeah.
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary, members of the board. Two items related to the presentation this morning on the Army Museum. The first is an MOA between VDOT and the Army to allow access improvements for the museum on the Fairfax County Parkway. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Move that approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
We'll take both of them at once.
Sorry. Okay.
The motion's on both of them. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Administrative Services, Ms. Johnson, about the land use plan. Any further questions, Ms. Johnson? No?
No, I need your approval to submit our plans to DGS.
How many are there?
343.
Move approved. God bless you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you.
Mr. Secretary, I'm stepping in for Mr. Wilson today. I'm here to ask the board's approval to provide Director Drake with the authority to issue certain potential projects a letter of no prejudice. This is necessitated because the FTA has announced five new discretionary grant programs in late June with an expected award date in late summer, early fall. And we anticipate, we've talked to our transit providers and other transportation entities, and we anticipate some of those projects may want to move forward before our normal application process in February. So therefore, we'd like to have the ability that if certain providers, other entities receive this funding, we could give them the authority to move forward and allow them to have reimbursement of expenditures if funding is approved by this board next June.
Move approval.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you.
Mr. Bennett, surplus property?
Yes, sir. I have four surplus properties. I'm requesting the board's approval to approve. Item 10A is in the Bristol District, Wise County, and it's a wide spot in the roadway.
I take Mr. Bowie for A and B.
Chairman, I move approval of A and B.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Mr. Coulomay?
I move approval of C, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on that.
Mr. Rich?
This is 66, right, Doug?
Yeah, it's 66 just as it approaches the Roosevelt Bridge in D.C.
Yeah, I'm in favor of widening 66 inside the Beltway. Are we giving away right-of-way that we might be able to use to widen this?
Mr. Rich, if I can address that, several months ago the board took action on adjusting the limited access in this area because we determined that all our future needs could be made, could be accomplished in a smaller right-of-way. This is asking permission to sell the property that resulted from that limited access shift. So we have accommodated all the needs between the Roslyn Pedestrian Plaza and the Theodore Roosevelt Bridge within what we retained.
So there's no way that we could widen that particular area if we decided to and had the money?
Within this section here, it was determined that it was not would not ever be practical to widen it.
This is already three lanes in this section, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, then you've answered my question. Thank you very much.
Who are we conveying it to?
Is this a property that they're building out?
There is a property across the street that is will be the subject of an Arlington County redevelopment process, the entire several blocks between Arlington Ridge Road and Lynn Street, and they would then potentially move Arlington Ridge Road to accommodate the best development plan for that area.
So we're not selling it, we're conveying it.
We will be conveying it to an individual company if it's approved and we can enter into negotiations with them.
Well, no, yes. It says we're approving conveyance of the site land.
Well, when you... Yes, sir, but we do not have a terms of a sales agreement. The developer, you know, needs this action to be able to start their action with the county. So we're trying to indicate...
Let me make sure I understand. We're authorizing that subject to a successful negotiation to sell the property, it can be conveyed. Is that
yes,
what
sir.
Okay. May I have a question? It's a very long, thin strip along...
It's 42 feet wide by maybe 1,000 feet long.
Yes.
Or something like that.
And they're shifting the whole lane, right? Not that, that's the one where they're moving?
Well, the proposal is to move the local street in order to be able to put some trail amenities and other things like that in there.
There are some benefits for Arlington County from this transaction.
Yeah.
Our friends in Arlington support it.
Yeah. All those in favor on the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much.
Mr. Secretary, item 11D is in the Lynchburg District.
Move approval. Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Programming. Ms. Busher.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'd like to address the amendment to the six-year program item first. Attachment A to that resolution identifies the addition of two projects to the six-year improvement program for 12 through 17. The first one is in Portsmouth. The project description is the Virginia Port Authority Multiple Rail Crossing Closure Project, and these are safety funds, approximately $250,000. The second one is in Culpeper. It's the Route 29 widening project being requested to be added to the six-year program at an estimated cost of $32.5 million.
Do you have a motion, Mr. Peake?
Yes, I move to approve.
I second that.
This is
the addition of a project to the program. The next paper will be the actual funding.
We're doing 12 first.
All those in favor,
Mr. Chairman, just one clarification. What we're doing here is funding the widening of 29 North, right? Fixing the so-called hourglass. Okay, I'm all in favor of that. That's why
I
second
12.
That.
Where's the 250 for Hampton Roads come into that?
I'm sorry?
We're not doing the 250 for Hampton Roads.
We're doing both. Oh, it's okay. All in one paper.
Make sure. Okay.
So this is item 12. We skipped item 11.
Okay,
item
11. I got you.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed?
It's just logistics. Adding a program to the project to the program in the item 11, which is the transfer of allocations from one project to another greater than 10%. I have a list of projects that meet that criteria, most of which are moving safety money from projects where the projects aren't moving or projects are complete to other safety projects. The two items on this list, though, would be the movement of $230 million to two projects, the bypass as well as the widening project. Those are two UPCs, 16160, which is the bypass, which is already in the program, and 77383, which is the widening. They're coming from two sources. One is the PPTA initiatives project and the scoping of federal funds project.
I have a motion. Move to approve, Mr. Secretary.
Second.
I have an amendment, Mr. Secretary.
I have a comment. I'm shocked.
Go ahead, Mr. Roberts.
I have an amendment to defer the last two items dealing with the 29 bypass. And I'll make we've heard most of the comments, but I just want to summarize very briefly my concerns about this. You know, we're dealing with $250 million. That's a lot of taxpayer money. We're talking about building a facility at $46 million per mile. Our Route 29 study that we just approved had language that said this proposal is no longer an effective option to serve corridor-wide trips. We're supposed to be worried about corridor-wide. It also, our study that we unanimously adopted asked us to have interjurisdictional discussions on this so that we could try to work together. We've not done that. We've ignored our own study. As we've indicated, this project would dead end into a growth area. It would have to go, after you depart the bypass, you would have to go through 13 traffic signals and 7 proposed signals. This project is not shovel-ready. We do not have all the right-of-way. We have millions and millions of dollars of right-of-way to purchase. We have no up-to-date PE documents. We need a new environmental document more than likely, and there will be litigation, I can guarantee you this. So we're not going to be moving anything. That's why on the 29 study, we said, let's first try to come to a consensus. Maybe we could all agree on a bypass that actually worked. We've heard about a loss of federal funds, possibly. I mean, we've got to be very careful about throwing out money before we know what we're going to have. There's no private leverage in this proposal that PPTA projects usually require. So we could be draining funds from Route 460, the Midtown Tunnel, 95, Coalfields Expressway. I can tell you in my district, Route 29 needs several grade separated interchanges. There's no funding for that now. I have offered a suggestion that would improve 29 significantly for probably less than $80 million that everyone seems to agree. Our Route 29 study said we need to have transit considered. This area needs transit. Even Tyson's Corner has figured out we need to have transit. There's no discussion of transit. So for these reasons, I would move these items, as I mentioned here, be deferred.
I'm sorry, do we have a second amendment?
Yes.
You did second his amendment?
No, you didn't second his amendment.
No, not his amendment. I said
I need a second on my...
all right. So you don't have a second. Mr. Kuhlman?
I just wanted to clarify something. There's a long list of Northern Virginia safety projects that have money being switched to Fredericksburg District.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted for the record to remind that these projects actually... in the Northern Virginia District have been picked up with additional federal funds because they couldn't meet the original matching deadlines last year. So it's not an abandonment of safety.
Correct.
In the Northern Virginia District.
It is not.
And I just wanted to make that clear.
Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
You have to vote on the amendment first.
He has an amendment.
He doesn't have a second.
Second.
There's a second.
All right. We have all those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The noes have it. We're on the main motion. Do we have all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now get to the intermodal office. Mr. Tyard, any questions of Mr. Tyard?
I have nothing to add to the presentation from this morning.
Do we have a motion on Mr.
Move to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Ayes have it. Traffic engineering.
Yes, sir. The item we have is the removal of speed limit reduction on Route 208 from Louisa County. This is after the school has been finished, and the county has asked for us to remove the reduction speed limit.
Which one are we on?
We're on the
14.
It's about the speed limit
for the
school.
Have we heard anything from Delegate Janice on this? This is a statutory provision. Delegate Janice proposed. Have you heard from him on this? This was passed by the General Assembly, and we're repealing what the General Assembly has done. I guess we can do that.
Well, my understanding is the board can repeal. The
we heard Jim from the delegate on that. I was reluctant to do this without checking with Delegate Janice. Can we defer this? Or Jim, have you heard from the delegate?
Secretary, Mr. Rich, no, I have not heard back from Delegate
Janice. I would move to defer this until we can confer with Delegate Janice, because he is the one that passed a bill to reduce the speed limit. This removes the speed limit.
out of courtesy to the delegate, I would ask that we defer.
Mr. Chairman, this is from the Board of Supervisors in the county.
Yeah, I realize that.
It's up to you all. You want to do?
Wait until September in Paris.
Mr. Chairman, I'm confused. If the Virginia General Assembly passed a bill to change the speed limit on a road, then wouldn't the Virginia General Assembly have to unpass their bill or change it? The board wouldn't have. The board's power doesn't supersede the General Assembly's power.
It kind of depends on how they wrote the statute.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have a clue.
During time of construction.
It's in here. It's in your packet. It actually directed the board to set the speed limit at 35.
During construction.
And it's once the construction is done, I guess now the county is saying we don't want that speed limit there anymore. And it was line item budget in the budget. It wasn't a bill. So
will it hurt anything to delay this until September? It's not a big deal to me, but I just out of courtesy to the delegate, who I think is a pretty good delegate.
I did move for a second.
Second to delay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you.
Contracting?
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, members of the board, before you have two projects, total $17 million, $17,400,000. Recommend approval.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Do we have any new business?
Just one point of clarification. The commissioner was kind enough. It didn't appear this time, but it will the next time. He's going to give us, even though we don't have the authority to vote on anymore, he's going to give us a list of contracts between $2 and $5 million, just so we know what's going on in our district. And, Commissioner, it should just kind of appear with these, right? It'll appear in our book with the other bids.
Yes.
I thank you for that. I hope my board members find that. Fellow board members find that somewhat helpful, so you know what's going on in the district.
I apologize for not having that this week.
We know you have a few things on your plate.
Mr. Rich, the commissioner's total amount this month is $13 million. New business, I have two resolutions to give authority to the Commissioner of Highways, approval and execution authority. One is for design build projects, one is for design bid build projects. While the board is not in session in August.
I would only have one amendment to that. In the past, remember the board last time added the language upon consultation with the board member and who's listening to the project is, just so that he lets us know. There's no approval mechanism, but I think we need to maintain that type of language so we know what's going on. We've done that in the past.
Not this. I'm sorry. Finish this. Another new business.
Okay. So, is all right, everyone with that one amendment? Do we have a motion on those two?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Peake?
Other new business, very briefly, I know you all are tired. I just want to thank the governor and the secretary for the efforts they made on the Route 29 bypass. And my fellow members of the Transportation Board, y'all been hearing it for 20 years now, and then the whole year I've been on here, and you've undergone a lot of phone calls and talks, and I've pestered all of you, and other people have pestered you. On behalf of the Lynchburg District, the people on Route 29, I thank you very much. That's the end of my new business.
And I'm sorry, I had one item.
Yes, sir. Under new business, we had one additional item. It was a limited access break on Route 199 around Williamsburg between Long Hill Road and Monticello Avenue. This limited access break is to allow access for the construction of a cellular tower. There's three companies that have been looking to build in that area for several years, and this seems to be the only property available, but they require access from Route 199.
Do we have paper on that?
It's in the back of your package.
Okay,
There is one correction to the resolution that I would like to make at this time. There, as Mr. Lane pointed out this morning,
On the third whereas, instead of indicating that Nintellos is the contract purchaser of the property, it should indicate it that Nintellos has a option to lease the property on a long-term basis. Also on the second page, the same issue, it says own, and in that case there, we would want to insert a lease of the property instead of own the property. If anybody wants any additional information.
I'm going to move approval. Let me just a couple of comments. This is needed for there is no 911 service in this part surrounding the James City County, Williamsburg area. So from my perspective, after talking with Mr. Curley, and I know it's a limited access road, but the restrictive agreement only allows access from 12 at midnight to 1 in the morning for service. And it appeared to me that the service to the public of having the ability of 911 outweighed our decision, having a limited access. Now, obviously, they're going to pay for our easement, and that's all economically determined. But the decision for me wasn't the financial aspects. It was the service to the public, because I know we don't like to go across our limited access. So I do move for approval of the project.
Second.
Any further discussion? Ms. Ellis?
Chairman. Mr. Bennett, is there any accommodations when we make for safety? I know Mr. Lane pointed out it's going to be, hours, when access will be restricted. Is it going to be gated or anything like that?
It will be a gated crossing. I mean, access through the fence that way. It's a private entrance type construction. The district has reviewed the possibilities of some shoulder widening, and all that would be made a condition of the, permit to go along with the limited access parade.
I know that it's a 60-mile-an-hour speed limit.
It is indeed.
Any further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any further new business?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ms. Gerson.
Just one question for the Commissioner. I get a lot of queries about the infrastructure bank. Are we going to have guidelines?
Yeah, it will be September. Okay. We've been working with BRA, with bond counsel, and trying to see how we could potentially leverage the dollars. And there's different ways to do it, but it's been trying to look at the statute, the role of the BRA, potentially other state agencies could be involved in helping us leverage the dollars. So we think we finally, when we're here today, the bond counsel sent their letter to us. So we'll be back in September and outline the rules, but also the potential to use the existing money that we have, and also potentially one of the things the governor wanted to do was future surpluses, put that in there as well. And basically what we're trying to do is find ways to turn $1 into $2 or $3 through leveraging. So that will be back. And then we'll have, I know we have several of you have already contacted us about projects in your districts that are eligible and have shown an interest in the project and in using the funds. But it will be September. And actually, the fact that we'll have the full day, we will spend maybe if it's all right with the board, instead of doing a workshop, maybe we'll do maybe a morning meeting and then go do HRT, APM, go over and actually see where the Midtown Tunnel does site, and we should be able to get all those in an afternoon, and then the next day we'll spend the day going through some of these strategic plans.
Next time maybe in.
So it's Wednesday and Thursday?
What's easier? We'll come out to you. We'll come out. It could be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday. Okay. So
is it true Mr. Lane's going to buy dinner?
All right. Yes. I will buy dinner. All right.
And it's a nice restaurant.
Chick-fil-A.
He didn't say what. But I will.
Either
Mr. Miller and I will buy dinner. That's what we will work out dinner.
That evening, either Tuesday night.
Welcome to Norfolk, Mr. Dr. Davis.
If we do that, I'm not going to invite you to Winchester.
We will, depending on what day, 2 days it is, the evening in between, we will try to set up some sort of reception or something and get, you know, essentially meet and greet with the local officials down here.
So go to dinner.
Well, then we'll go to dinner. But we do want to talk to you, secondary roads, maintenance issue, crossovers. I mean, the focus of this General Assembly for us is targeting the crossover issue of maintenance. So we'll go through some of those issues, and then the VTIP, because we're going to have to walk you through, I think, where we are on how we use the VTIP effectively. And then we'll talk just general strategic issues as well. Okay? So we will come out to you. Carol will canvas you what's better, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday. All right. Everyone, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I know it's a long meeting, but I appreciate the great work today. Being adjourned. Well.